Welcome to our study of the Book of Hebrews here on the Radio Bible Course. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. In yesterday's program, we talked about a man of faith known as Enoch. It tells us in verse 5 that he was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was attested as having pleased God. And now in today's program, we discuss verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. There is no way to please God, according to the Bible, apart from faith. What is faith? Faith is believing God. The reason why you can believe God is because of who he is. God is truth, and he cannot lie. You and I may lie, and at times we do, but God cannot. He who is all truth calls on us to trust him. Faith is believing without seeing, as we found in verse 1 of chapter 11. It says it's the conviction of things not seen. Whenever I read these words, of things not seen, I'm reminded of that wonderful story of faith recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's the story of the king of Syria. Whatever the king of Syria planned with his army, the Lord made known to Elisha the prophet, who in turn reported the matter to the king of Israel. The king of Syria was more than annoyed at this and inquired to determine who was leaking his secrets to the king of Israel. One of his servants told him that Israel had a prophet, Elisha, who knew all that went on in the Syrian camp. So the king ordered Elisha's capture and sent an army of horses and chariots to surround the city where he was staying. It's the city of Dothan. When Elisha's servant arose the following morning, he saw the army surrounding the city, and he said, "What shall we do, master?" Elisha answered, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha's faith was the conviction of things not seen. You see, faith is the invisible hand reaching out for what God offers him. Dr. V. Raymond Edmond, who was Wheaton College's president in my day, wrote, "Believe your beliefs that are founded on the Word of God, and doubt your doubts that come from disease, despair, disappointment, or disobedience. Doubt paralyzes. Faith vitalizes." Now, if faith pleases God, and the Bible says that it does, then it depends solely on God, not you. If the outcome of faith rests on your performance or fulfilling conditions, then we don't have faith at all, because faith's fulfillment is God, not us. Our faith is in what God's Word declares to be true. God wants us to believe it, even though it may be an incredible promise. See what verse 6 declares. It says the person coming to God must first be convinced of God's existence. And of course, that's true. But he must also believe that God is a rewarder of those coming to him, not those who deserve something. Everyone outside of this faith approach is displeasing to God, because God is looking for men and women who will believe him. And as soon as he finds one, he will save them. Now, this is a fearful state to displease God. Faith permits God's favor to flow on you who are convinced that believing God is not useless. He does reward the seeker. Who is he? He's the true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the one who made all things. Seeking an unknown God is not faith. One must seek the God who has revealed himself by his word and by his Son. There's an emphasis in verse 6 on seeking him who is the giver of every good thing. My friends, we must not be misled. If a person comes to God seeking a reward for his good behavior or other merit, that person has not come to the God of the Bible, for the Creator of heaven and earth rewards by grace, not works. He rewards the seeker, not the doer. If anyone is serious about pleasing God, he needs to discover who the God of the Bible is and what he has declared about himself. He is the God of grace. Or as Paul wrote, the God of all grace. The God of the Bible is the one who imputes righteousness and saves men through faith. God insists that no one can please him except by faith. That means God desires to do something for us far more than he wants us to do something for him. Now in verse 7, we read about another character, Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, we read that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, it says. Now, we walk with those we trust, and we avoid those in whom we lack confidence. Again, if Noah walked with God, it means he was going where God was going. That's submission to the divine will, which also implies complete faith. But Noah demonstrated his faith in what God's word said to him. God said that a flood would destroy all life. God revealed that God would preserve Noah and his family. Therefore, he told him to build an ark, and he gave him the exact specifications for it. He told him also to collect a pair of every living thing and take them aboard the ark. And he also said, collect food for you and for those animals. Now, Noah had never seen a flood, nor does the Bible record that it had ever rained up until that time. Nor had he ever seen an ark, but he knew the God of creation. When God spoke, Noah believed him, even though the promised catastrophe was incredible. He possessed the conviction of things not seen. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that Noah believed in God. It tells us he believed God. He was like Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed God. That is, he believed the communication which God had delivered to him. He was trusting the word of God. And that's exactly what Noah did. But Noah must have endured scorn while he built the ark. People just don't take to someone doing such a strange thing. They criticize and they mock. Nevertheless, Noah preached righteousness, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Once we are convinced of the truth of God's word, we are able to walk in faith in spite of ridicule and human appeals for good sense. We who believe God and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, should not expect people of the world to understand why we do what we do. We are different. We are trusting in the living God who has spoken. And we trust in his word because his word has already proved to be true. Hundreds of prophecies were made in the Old Testament, and they were fulfilled literally. God has a record to stand on, and so we can trust Him, for the Bible declares that God cannot lie. He's not like men. Now, Noah didn't need to ask his neighbors what they thought about God's communication concerning the ark. He walked with God, and he had no need to test his Creator or to seek the approval of others. This flood was not a thought that entered Noah's mind one day. Instead, it was a precise revelation with details for building the ark. Hebrews 11 verse 7 calls it a warning of events yet unseen. I assume Noah believed God prior to this warning. Otherwise, it would not be written that he walked with God. When God spoke about the flood, he believed God as he did earlier. Believing God is having faith. Faith is the noun. The word believe is a verb. They come from the same root word. And while Noah walked with God, he did not engage in the wickedness or the violence of his age. Nor did he desire to do what others did. Noah had a heart for God. But of the others, it is written in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Later in verse 12, it is written that all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. People who walk with God are not wicked or corrupt or violent, because those activities are not in God's pathway. But some of us were that way. And so were some of those early Christians. Paul wrote to Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and said, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." When a man believes in Jesus Christ for deliverance from hell, he will also desire deliverance from the corruption associated with people who are perishing. To that extent, believing also suggests desiring God. Don't be deceived. If a man cannot be trusted with your money, your wife, or your daughter, and with responsibility to perform a job for which he has ability, then I question whether he walks with God. As we close the program today, I want to make you aware of our teachings on prayer, which I believe will revolutionize the way you pray. You'll never pray the same after listening to these four cassette tapes called Understanding Prayer. These teaching tapes point out that very few people pray about the things that concern the Apostle Paul, and that we pray for things that would have shocked the apostles. Information about understanding prayer is included in our new teaching tape brochure. Write for your copy today. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.